Hi, this is Son of Dave, and you're listening to CKUW 95.9 FM, Campus Community Radio.
Welcome to Bridging the Gap. I'm your host, Marianne Rose. You are about to embark on a relevant and timely journey of thought with registered psychologist Dr. Cyrus Dirksen. Thank you for tuning in and expect to be enlightened right now.
Hey there, Cyrus.
Hey, Marianne.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, and you?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good, too. I'm thankful.
Mm-hmm.
In the midst of the chaos, we're getting backyard work done. So I'm looking forward to the quote that feels reasonable. I'm looking forward to that conversation with the right landscaping artist.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Actually reasonable. Looking for the reasonable. Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. What feels reasonable? Mm-hmm. So now I'm also Mennonite, as you are.
I am.
And do you have that frugal side to you?
Oh, yes. Yes. You know what's funny? When you're in business or doing things and things grow, I'm that guy who has trouble letting go of the small stuff. You know, it's like, oh, but if I do it, it's cheaper. You know, so I'll find myself doing lots of things that, you know, if you were to zoom out from a financial perspective and be like, oh, should Cyrus be doing that? Is that the best use of his time? It's like, no, no, that's not. But I'm like, but I can save a little bit of money, you know, and I have that frugal side of myself as well. And I'm a bit of a fix-it guy. I can do different things sometimes, or I like to think I can. The latest example is we have a leak in our pool, and there's returns that go to pool that kind of shoot water back into your pool. And there's a crack in the plumbing, but the crack is right by the edge. So I'm like looking up marine glue that kind of dries underwater, and I'm trying to do surgery on my pool plumbing as I'm swimming, you know, like gluing the inside of this pipe. I have no idea if this is going to work, but this is rather than them digging up the yard to fix it. And so, yeah, I'm that guy who's like trying to find a cheaper way.
Yeah, what's the worst that can happen?
Right.
You're not under warranty, are you?
Honestly, it broke when it was under warranty. They fixed it, and it's the same piece. It's broken again now after warranty, so it's kind of frustrating.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. So that leads well to our conversation today. Our title is What's in Your Hand?
Mm-hmm.
And it's dealing with the present moment, which eliminates chaos.
Right.
If you're able to do it.
Mm-hmm. What do you have? What do you have available to you now? I mean, we're often looking to the future. We're looking like, oh, I'll be ready. I'm going to get ready. But sometimes you can't. Sometimes it's just like, what do you have right now?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we don't recognize what we have. We don't see who we are. We don't see the positive things in our life.
Yeah.
And we discount it all. Maybe because it's familiar or somebody else has judged it or we've judged it or it's not perfect. But it's ours. It's there.
Yeah.
It's maybe who we are.
If you answer that question with an insult upon yourself, it's not really the goal here. I think it'd be better to answer whatever question you're asking about what's in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
What are you feeling in the moment? What are you dealing with? What's available to you? All these types of questions you can ask. And then you beat yourself up. It's not really the answer we're looking for. How can you give yourself an answer in the first place about what's in your hand without terrorizing yourself for what's lost or broken?
Yes. Yeah, because we could look at it like what's not in our hand. Or we could say, oh, this is bad, what's in my hand.
Yeah.
I think what you're talking about is gratitude, right? Like, I have something in me. I have this ability, and I'm thankful for it. You know, like, I see the worth in it. Even when you might feel like you don't have much, maybe you're even trying to be very objective, and you're like, I don't have much. Oftentimes, then, there's possibility, right? Like, there's freedom. Sometimes when we have more in our hands, there is a feeling of, like, well, I have to go in this direction, or I have to go in that direction.
So even for a simple example, you are holding a pen in your hand.
I am.
What comes to mind? How would you describe what this might be?
It's interesting to slow yourself down and actually think about something, because it's like, what would I want on a desert island, right? Like, if I was going to be alone, I only had a few things to bring, you know, a pen or a pencil, the ability to write, the ability to capture and memorialize your thoughts and who you are, the ability to, I mean, it really is a tool that helps you to think, helps you to process things. And it's kind of amazing. It's amazing even the simple things that we have, and like to slow down and actually see the abilities that we have and what we're able to do with it.
And you're looking at the pen. You imagine its worth, mm-hmm. its value connected to your thoughts, mm-hmm. connected to your memories mm-hmm. and what you could create. Mm-hmm. I think those things are the same with any kind of gift, mm-hmm. whether it be physical or talent, mm-hmm. you know, something that you're good at doing. Mm-hmm. If you can see it as though you're holding it and observe it and ask those questions, mm-hmm. what's its value, worth, and creativity?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, you're talking about something that's more concrete where it's like, oh, I've got a pen actually in my hand right mm-hmm. now. Are you thinking you could also do this with parts of yourself? Like, I could do this with maybe my education, or I could do this with my relationships, or I could yes. do this with my gifts that I have, or time, or how people see me, or yeah. my reputation and my health. You know, you could just look at different things in your yeah. life, right?
If you were going to ask the question about your reputation, I'll just pull that one out of the mix.
Sure.
And say that's in your hand. Mm-hmm. And you want to create mm-hmm. with it. You want to see how it's useful. Mm-hmm. What would you ask yourself about that?
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that's going to be hard to see is actually what your reputation even is. So to pay attention to it and be like, okay, what is my reputation? How do people see me? What's my reputation with myself? Sometimes we don't trust ourselves. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we do trust ourselves with different tasks or things like that. And so, yeah, what is my reputation? And then once you know what that is, like if you have a terrible reputation, let's say, you could look at that like, oh my goodness, I have a terrible reputation, which would be maybe real, and we want to be real with ourselves sometimes. And so it's like, okay, I have a terrible reputation, but in some ways I get excited about, if I had a terrible reputation and I was able to turn that around, what a story that would be. What a testimony of human spirit's ability. I've seen people who have had terrible reputations and have been able to forge ahead, and that terrible reputation has been so useful to so many people who are struggling.
I love the answer you just gave, because it right away says there's not an end to this. Because if you think about your reputation being terrible and you assault yourself, that's the opposite of what the goal would be in this whole experiment, is to be able to take that and then ask the hopeful question.
Like, if I had that reputation, you know, that's something that you could go on a speaking tour with, right? Of like, oh my goodness, I was this and I have been transformed, hopefully, into something else, you know? I've been able to change my reputation.
I remember a movie I saw where there was somebody who had had a heavy criminal past, and they got out and were very tempted to go back in. And the one thing that was their saving grace was that their sister had a child who they had the opportunity to be around and influence. And so just seeing the hope that the child had that this person could be changed made them want to. That was their only trajectory. It was like, nah, I've got a purpose now, not to harm others anymore, or even just harm myself, or not care about my reputation. Like, I actually have a reason to care. There's somebody else here.
Yeah, it's interesting to kind of lean in when you're not afraid. Like, let's say you had a terrible reputation, and to lean into it can be so difficult because it makes us anxious. It's like, oh, I don't want to think about that anymore, you know? I don't want to think about what's in my hand. But then to be able to lean into it, oftentimes there's more nuances. It's like, okay, there's this overwhelming word, but there's probably nuances. I mean, when I've talked with people who have had terrible reputations, oftentimes there are these beautiful nuances in the story, like, wow, I have such a terrible reputation, and yet this person still loves me, or has hope for me, or is working towards my goodness. So it can even point to true love. You know, this person loves me even though I have this terrible thing happening in my life.
Yes.
And again, if you lean in, like you said, like if you lean into the nuances of what's in your hand, oftentimes you'll see these beautiful elements that are maybe even are more beautiful when they're surrounded with the darkness. Like, they just shine all the more.
Yeah. But to be able to see that, you have to have that on purpose kind of perspective switch that says something's beautiful here. And there are times where your own eyes, your own ears, your own telling of the story doesn't have those pieces, or you haven't made them available. And then you open up part of what would be painful. Somebody else sees the silver lining.
It's so true. I mean, it takes a great deal of honesty to look at what's in your hand. It can take a great deal of courage And then another level of that would be to ask somebody else, what's in my hand? Like, what is my reputation? Or something like that. Have somebody else lean in with you to actually look at the details. There's a level of accountability and honesty and vulnerability that goes along with these things, mm-hmm. which can be very healing and also very challenging.
Yeah. So let's say you did that trust work with somebody, and at the end of it, there was the consequence of something deeper. Mm. Consequence of, now I've revealed, you know, some of these lower parts.
Mm-hmm.
To see an outcome at the end of that that means now there's work ahead.
Right.
Ow.
Yes. Yeah.
Was it worth it?
Yeah.
To actually talk this through when I was looking for hope, it's now there's work.
Now there's work. It's like, oh, wow, there's a problem. Oh, see, I went to the doctor and now I've got a problem. You know, it's like, well, you looked at what was in your hand, right? You looked at your health and now there's work to be done, right?
Yes.
And that's difficult, but I guess there's a question there of, do you want to be honest with yourself? Or do you have the ability to be honest with yourself about that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Once it's revealed and you needed the courage.
Yeah.
Like you said, I love that you used the word courage because it takes that.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't always know you have it, and that's okay. You can feel like you don't have courage. You can feel overwhelmed. You can feel like it's too much. And then you still open your mouth and you still search for that little bit of health. Taking health as the example now, there's a response I have to this. I can ditch it. I can decide, nah. I like my burgers. Nope. But then, am I going to get better?
Right. Yeah. That ability to be honest with yourself, to see who you really are, is not always completely required. All these things are kind of gradients. But the more that you can do that, the more opportunity there is, right? And sometimes we're surprised, not with negative stuff, but also with the path of, I didn't realize I had this. So, for example, I remember somebody going to the bank and they were just going for another reason. And then they realized all of a sudden that they qualified for a mortgage. I didn't know it was in my hand. I didn't know that I had this ability in my life. And all of a sudden there is a path, but it's this beautiful path that opens up. And if we are not able to see or if we avoid, sometimes there's these beautiful things that are there that we don't even realize are there, these possibilities.
Not able to see and avoiding, I think, are married. They go hand in hand. Those pieces are what you need to step out of. Because you have to look at your hand and what's in it. So being able to see means looking, means opening your eyes and searching and asking questions. What even is it? And then once you see it, ask yourself the questions, I think, is the next part for me, is what question do you need to ask to turn that thing?
Right. The question that will kind of uncover what's actually there, right?
Yeah.
So
if you look in your hand now and you see, for example, in a relationship, and you're seeing that as something you have, but there's always challenges. Do you have a relationship with somebody that's perfect? And if you do, maybe need to stir up the pot.
I mean, to see that differently. I mean, when you talk about this, I feel like there's this just rolling down a hill that happens, right, where we just are taken away and we just kind of make these assumptions about our life and these quick judgments where we don't really think about things.
Yeah.
But I think what you're saying is, like, slow down and really look at it.
Yeah. If you did that with a relationship, let's go with the easy relationship. Can you get to a place where if you're not looking at that relationship that you're taking it for granted, and that if it's not being held and looked at and appreciated before your eyes, you're maybe almost in a physical sense like you're holding it in your hand, what would happen if you didn't look at it? Just because it's good. Or maybe that's what you need to look at, is that it is good.
And it is good, yeah. It's interesting to kind of go through the Rolodex of your life, right, and actually hold each relationship. I think many people will have one relationship that maybe comes to mind and they'll hold that one. But then even if you kind of go down to the next one or the next one and actually hold each relationship in your hand on its own, what does it look like? Ooh, that's interesting.
Oh, I love that question. I think place gratitude in the other hand so that you can have them meet and then hold those hands together. Because I think if you can, especially in the word relationship, that means you are looking to be relatable, somebody you want to be with. Perhaps I say the word relationship and people thinking about the many that they have, that there are some that are estranged, but they still have a relationship in their mind. Memories, painful things, but that person comes to mind. I'm thinking about bringing gratitude to it. What's in your hand is that first part, being hopeful instead of sabotaging yourself, your well-being, what you are holding in relationships, whether they're good or bad, if you can actually bring gratitude.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you're holding something in your hand and you become aware of it, the hope is that you would be able to transform it. You would be able to become more aware of it. You would be able to process it differently. I mean, so much of our lives is spent on autopilot. So much of our lives is spent not thinking about our lives. So to not be afraid and to process it. And the other thing is to do this repeatedly, right? Because everything is always changing. I remember my grandpa would say, you have to go and walk the fields. It doesn't matter how big your farm is, you have to go walk the fields. And that idea of you don't get above thinking about your life and processing your own life and evaluating what's going on the ground. So actually spending that time letting your eyes roam and think about what's actually there.
Oh, yeah. And then you can see what needs to change. Oh, there's a wasp's nest right here. And that's, I'm not sure what you would see on a field. Like,
right,
it
yeah.
becomes a problem.
I don't know what my grandpa would see either. I didn't grow up on fields.
No.
Yeah.
Just different kinds of things that could happen.
Maybe. You would probably see mold, or you have weeds, or maybe the water not being where it's supposed to be, or flooding. And yeah, you would just see all of these things. But you might also see where it's doing better than you think, where you maybe don't need to use pesticides like you thought you did. I don't know. It would be interesting. It would always be different.
Oh, I love the field analogy as something that's in your hand, too. It's just like your entire ground, what's before you, and then so many areas that could be used or not. So you come across an area you didn't expect. That's beautiful. And you find out, oh, I can plant a garden here. This is quite a lovely spot I didn't know I had. Look at it.
Right.
You look at what's in your hand, right?
Yes, definitely. I mean, it's wonderful, right? It really is. And hopefully we'll connect you and ground you. I mean, the idea here is, I think, that we get so caught up with the emergency, we get so caught up with the thing that draws our attention to it. Not only living maybe just watching television or something like that until our life is gone, but we also get distracted by the urgent, even minor urgencies, to things that maybe aren't as important, and we lose the things that are quietly there, you know, being present, being stable, being wonderful, being powerful in our lives, and we can neglect them.
So to not neglect those things that could be powerful, what would be one of the ways that you could maybe nurture?
One of the exercises that I've done recently is making a list of all of the areas of my life. And it's interesting when people talk about managing their life or being productive, making a list of all the different areas and then reviewing them on some frequency. Because we can get, again, so caught up in something in a compulsive way. You know, whatever we think of, and then, you know, you can get down a track. You're like, oh, I'm thinking about this, and so then this goes on the task list, and that goes on the task list, and then you do those things, and there's a whole other area of your life that you're kind of neglecting and forgetting about that never made it onto the task list, you know, that never made it into your thoughts. And so to have those things there, you know, because there are so many things. I mean, you get beyond, for me, like three or four, and all of a sudden the rest kind of fades into the background. So the ability to hold more things in your life is important. So yeah, so sometimes it's as simple as having a list and making a practice of thinking through those different areas and how each is doing. Does something need more attention?
I'm interested in the word compulsive versus present moment, because they might seem like the same thing. But if you're present with it instead of it just running its compulsive course, you would be more attentive. Your brain would be brought to attention with what's in your hand about it. So there is a pause that's involved in knowing and seeing what's in your hand, so it's not just running its compulsory course,
mm-hmm.
and take a look at it in an open way as well, because here we are with our hand open, mm-hmm. is the other picture that I have.
Mm.
You're not just holding this thing mm-hmm. tightly to you and gripping it as though it's, yes, okay, it's yours, but what I mean is, like, if you have your hand open with it to observe it,
mm-hmm.
because there's also a surrender involved.
Mm-hmm.
You're not just strangling it. You're doing something loose with it, with your hand open.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that hand open kind of gives a feeling of flexibility,
yeah.
a feeling of peace. I think flexibility is such a wonderful word for so many areas, right? And so if you're able to be flexible, oftentimes more solutions will come to mind, your ability to manage it differently. And when you're holding these things in your hand, when you're moving through your life, maybe it is important to think about it as holding them gently, you know, with respect
mm-hmm.
and with trust, I think, hopefully. I mean, this is important, right? When you're going through a difficult time, to continue to be trusting and flexible can be a real challenge.
Mm. I love the word surrender. When mm-hmm. I think about my ultimate trust in something that I have in my hand, if my hand is open, it's open to hope, possibility, mm-hmm. good things,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
but it's also open to it being something I let go.
Mm-hmm.
If I have my hand open and I'm not just strangle-holding this mm-hmm. thing that I think is mine,
mm-hmm.
then I am also saying it's yours to mm-hmm. God.
Mm-hmm.
This surrender attitude of whatever it is helps me to relax about it too, because you can get really spun out on this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're talking about dancing around with so many thoughts, your dreams, your relationships, your mm-hmm. gifts, mm-hmm. your talents. These are huge things.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about what's in your hand, that's what we've been talking about. And now
mm-hmm.
I'm talking about having your mm-hmm. hand open in surrender
mm-hmm.
about those things.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting. It's like put them in your hand and then maybe let them go.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, what's in your hand, and then can you trust that it's going to be okay and that you don't have to hold it tightly? And oftentimes we don't. We don't trust, right? And then we can strangle it.
Mm.
We can crush it. We can control it, especially in relationships. Well, so many things.
Yeah.
So to pay attention is so difficult. We'll have fear, avoidance, but to be honest and like, oh, this is who I am. This is what I have. This is my life right now. These are the different parts. These are my relationships, and this is my ability. This is my future projected based on what I have right now. And then to be able to hold it gently and to see the paths there, and then eventually to be able to let it go and to be able to say, I can't control it. I might lose it all, but I trust. And that's often where people go to God, right? Where it's like, I have to trust something.
There's a scripture that says, if you lose your life, you'll find it.
Mm.
And I know what that means personally just by that process alone. Like,
mm-hmm.
I can do much better
mm-hmm.
when I'm not full of worry and fear and holding on to the things that are in my hand.
Mm-hmm.
I can let it go. It's just going to set me free, really.
Mm-hmm.
It's real freedom. And it doesn't mean that you don't have strategies and
mm-hmm.
skills and work ethics and things that help this whole situation out with whatever it is that's in your hand. That'll enhance it.
Mm-hmm.
Is when you are able to be free.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I agree that if you can open yourself, I think it will enhance it. I think that it's amazing how if you're able to kind of let these things go and trust with them, they'll often just become more beautiful and more meaningful. And so it's a tricky dance to hold that balance of walking the field, but then allowing them to be themselves, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you, Cyrus.
Thank you, Marianne.
Well, that was an honor to get to spend that time with you. Appreciate you tuning in. Please check out more of Dr. Cyrus at maplecrestchurch.ca and at drcyrusdirksen.com. Thanks again, and tune in next time for Bridging the Gap. I'm Marianne Rose.